Welcome to episode 63 of the Jake Talk Sports Podcast. In this episode, we have a lot to cover. First of all, we're talking about the CMC trade of the Niners because that hadn't happened yet when we recorded our last episode. Second off, talking about James Robinson to the Jets and what that means for those two teams, and also what that means for the two teams in the CMC trade. We'll talk about the implications for fantasy and on the field for both of those trades. Then we're going to get into Week 7, talking about a few big storylines that came with Week 7, including the benching of Matt Ryan, talking about every game and whether or not I picked it right, if any of my predictions came true, talking about all of that. But before we get into it, be sure to use Anchor by Spotify if you're looking to get into the podcast business. Remember, I talked about it at the top of the episode in that ad that you hear at the beginning of every episode. If you haven't done it yet and you're looking to do it, be sure to use Anchor by Spotify. And be sure to do whatever you can to help the podcast out on whatever platform you're listening to. Review us, give us a 5-star rating, all that jazz. Let's get right into the episode. So starting off talking about the Christian McCaffrey, the CMC trade to the 49ers. I want to start by saying that I think the Panthers won this trade by a good margin. I think it was a good idea for them. I thought that one of him, DJ Moore, or Brian Burns was going to get traded before the deadline, and he, like I said, ended up getting traded to the Niners. Everybody who was listening to this knows this already, and in fact, he's already played his first game, but I didn't record a podcast episode in between this one and the last one, which was recorded before this trade, so we're talking about it now. I think it's okay for the 49ers. I mean, this is a very win-now mode kind of deal for them, and I don't necessarily like it because their running back room is fine right now. Okay, obviously, it sucks losing Elijah Mitchell. That was a tough blow, a tough loss for them. But Jeff Wilson was averaging a ton of yards in the games that he played. I mean, he was fantastic in the absence of Elijah Mitchell. And they have a deep room, too. There's guys that they've drafted. Terrion Davis Price, they just drafted him this year, I think, or either that or last year. They have a lot of young talent. And to be fair, running back is one of the most replaceable positions in the NFL. It is just a fact, meaning that you can find anybody to come in and have a good game for you. Deontay Foreman just had a good game for the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard, who is not that good of a running back, just had a great game for the Panthers. You can find anyone off the street who can end up being a good running back for you. So why would the Niners do this? I'm honestly not sure. Okay, they gave up some pretty good draft capital. No firsts, but honestly, the Panthers still came away with a haul of picks. And they have a decent first-round pick because they're going to suck this year. I don't know if they're going to end up getting the number one overall pick because the Lions suck, the Texans suck, they suck. So it's going to be kind of a battle for the tanking, battle for Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, whoever ends up going. But, I mean, the Panthers are just in full rebuild mode. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Burns or Moore gone by the deadline. I don't think they're going to trade Burns because they already turned down 2 first-round picks, and there's no way they get anything better than that, unless it was like a division rival, or unless it was an NFC rival, which is possible. It could have been the Eagles or something, but I don't really care who it is. Even if it is a division rival, I'm taking that deal because who cares? You're the Panthers. You suck. You need those draft picks. You need... I mean, 2 first-round picks is ridiculous for Brian Burns. I mean, I love Brian Burns. Great player. He's not a tier one edge rusher, though. I mean, that is like what you would trade for Myles Garrett on top of some other draft capital behind that. I mean, he wants to be paid Myles Garrett money. He wants to be paid big money for an edge rusher. And I don't necessarily blame him. I think he's good. I think he's got some elite bend. He's just able to get around guys very, very quickly. He's not the most like bull rush kind of like power. I'm just going to just steamroll you kind of edge rusher, but... like I said, I think we could see him or Moore gone by the deadline. But CMC with the Niners, I think they're going to use him a lot of fun ways. I think Shanahan's a perfect coach to use a guy with his skill set. Didn't really do much in the first game. Had like 30 rushing yards, had a couple catches, I think. But in reality, they really didn't use him that much. Hopefully that usage will go up. The only thing that makes this deal truly worth it for the Niners is if they win the Super Bowl and he's a key contributor. Right. I mean, because if you win the Super Bowl, but he doesn't really do much, he kind of just kind of is mid, then did you really win that deal? Sure, you won a Super Bowl, but like the guy you traded for didn't do anything to contribute to that. So best case scenario for them is that they win the Super Bowl, he's a key contributor. Worst case scenario, they make the playoffs, get beat in the wild card round, and he isn't a contributor at all, right? That's like the worst case scenario for them. They might not even like have to be a wild card team because their division sucks, but you know, they won't get the one seed. So they're most likely going to be a wild card team and they're most likely get eliminated in the wild card, and that shouldn't make it worth it. So like I said, I think the Panthers won this deal pretty handily, got good draft capital for a guy who's injury prone, a guy who is a cornerstone of the team or was a cornerstone of the team, but you got to get rid of those, start a rebuild. So perfect rebuilding move for the Panthers. They're looking good. for the future, and the Niners are not because they don't have any draft picks until like 2024 or something. It's crazy. Talking about another trade that just happened yesterday, James Robinson traded to the Jets for just a small late-round pick package. I honestly did not see this one coming at all. I really expected the Jets to move forward with Michael Carter as the RB1 for them for the rest of the season. He looked pretty good. He's not the kind of guy that can handle the kind of workload that Breece Hall was getting, but he looked pretty good in the limited touches he was getting. I mean, obviously, he had a pretty big game against the Dolphins, although Breece Hall set both of those touchdowns up. I like Michael Carter. I think he's great, but he's definitely not the RB1 there. I'm not just going to trade for James Robinson and not give him the ball. I mean, I don't think he'll be like some superstar running back for them. But Breece Hall was looking real good behind that offensive line. They obviously lost Elijah Vera Tucker. James Robinson is a very, very, very talented back. So there is certainly an opportunity there for James Robinson to be really, really good and have a very, very good season. And that sixth-round pick that they got could turn into a fifth, depending on how many yards he rushes for. He's already like halfway to the total, and we're not even halfway through the year technically, so I think he should hit it. But what does this mean for fantasy purposes? I think Travis Etienne is going to be a fantasy machine this year for the remainder of the season. I mean, he was already kind of taking over as the fantasy RB1 before James Robinson even got traded. James Robinson dealing with some injury issues. Etienne kind of slips into that RB1 spot, and all of a sudden he's the fantasy RB1 and the on-the-field RB1 because last week, or should I say just 2 days ago, James Robinson did have had zero carries and one target, which was an overthrown pass that would have been a touchdown catch if it had been on target from Trevor Lawrence. No uses whatsoever, and he seemed like he was healthy. He was on the field, and they ran two straight QB sneaks for a touchdown, and he was on the field. It annoyed me so much because he's on my fantasy team. But now that he's the RB1 in a situation there, it's the same kind of thing with Jacksonville, where there's a talented running back right behind him, so any kind of slip-up, and he could easily be replaced, and he could be the RB2 there. Don't think it'll happen. I think he's really good. I think he's really talented. So I think that what this means is that Michael Carter immediately cancel those waiver wire claims for him, okay? Immediately cancel those. Bench him. I do not think he will get any production. It could be another Breece Hall situation where James Robinson in this case, gets the majority of carries down towards the goal line, down to the goal line, and they bring in Michael Carter. He brings in like a 1 yard touchdown. I don't see it happening, but I think James Robinson's not the best, but is a better receiving threat than Michael Carter, I would say. So he might get some more usage in the passing game. Gotta remember who his quarterback is, though. Definitely a downgrade from Trevor Lawrence. How much of a downgrade it is, that can be debated, but it definitely is a downgrade. So as far as fantasy goes, that's the implications. As far as the teams go, I like Etienne. He's fantastic. I think he's going to break out to be a superstar. I think he's going to be a really, really good running back for the Jaguars for a really, really long time. They drafted him in the first round for a reason. They like him. They obviously chose him over James Robinson because they're willing to trade James Robinson away and be confident with him as a running back one. So I like it. I like Etienne in fantasy. I like him in real life. I think he's a great player. I think James Robinson, I don't think that Jets rushing attack is going to miss much because Breece Hall is fantastic. He's been awesome, but James Robinson's more seasoned in the league, and he's just about as talented. I like Breece Hall a lot, though. This is not a Breece Hall slander. This is a pro James Robinson take that I'm giving right now. I think he's going to be fantastic for the Jets. So without further ado, let's move into talking about Week 7 and talk about how many games I actually picked right, because it wasn't many. All right, starting off with the Saints and the Cardinals. I picked the Cardinals in this game because I think the Saints stink, and they were without Jameis Winston, even despite the fact that with Jameis Winston, they still stink because the Saints just suck. They are not a good football team, and I don't really get what else they have to do for people to understand this. I mean, people were calling their defense the best defense in football coming into the year. That is just blatantly false. They are not the best defense in football. I'm not even sure if I would be willing to call them a top five defense in football this year. I'm pretty sure I had them at least in the top five or in my honorable mention for the top five when it came to defenses coming into this year. But I do not think that they really deserve to be a part of that conversation at this point. I get it. They are talented. They are talented on defense. It does not mean that they are going to be a top five defense just because you have the talent to be a top five defense. Sure, the Dolphins have a talent to be a top five defense. Xavier Howard, Javon Holland, you know, wow. They're not a top five defense. Enough about the Saints defense, even though it was awful in this game. Let's talk about how awful Andy Dalton is. I mean, we expected this, right? No Jameis, Andy Dalton, Saints are going to suck. Andy Dalton, 30 for 47, 361, 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Very, very much a stat padding game from him. A lot of this came in garbage time. A lot of this came when it didn't matter. 3 interceptions, 2 of them pick sixes, one of them in the end zone that could have taken the lead for them very early in the game, could have shifted momentum a little bit. Instead, they give the momentum right back to the Cardinals. I don't know. The Cardinals' defense also isn't great, which is why this game was even an 8-point difference, which is why this game was even one possession, because the Cardinals' defense, while they had 2 pick sixes, one of them, Marquez Callaway, literally had in his hands, fell right in the lap of Marco Wilson. Second one pretty much was Andy Dalton's fault. But, you know, they played a good game for the defense sucking just on paper. They played a pretty good game. You know, Alvin Kamara had a decent game, 11 carries, 49 yards, but the receiving upside, 7 catches, 56 yards really showed. Juwan Johnson has been a very, very solid tight end for them this year. He caught 2 touchdowns, he caught 5 passes, 32 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, this guy's been pretty solid. I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I'm watching the Saints game, he's out there. He's pretty much open. Doesn't mean he gets thrown to, but he's pretty much open on every single play. And when he does get thrown to, he's got sure hands. He's got makes good catches. And I like him a lot. I think that he's like genuinely a pretty underrated tight end. And he's kind of been able to shine because I don't really have a true tight end one unless you count Taysom Hill. Who had a receiving touchdown in this game. But, you know, I like him a lot. There's some Saints takeaways for you. Looking at the cards, Kyler played an okay game. He was 20 for 29 for 204, a touchdown, no picks. The no picks thing is good. They didn't turn the ball over. That is a good thing for a team that kind of likes to turn the ball over. They're 3-4. They needed this win very badly. You come into this game 2-4. Your division sucks. For some reason, the Niners, I mean, had a tough draw against the Chiefs. The Seahawks, for some reason, are beating out there beating the Chargers. They're in first in the division. Obviously, the Rams have been looked really rough. They were on bye this week. They need it badly. They just have looked rough. Stafford's looked rough. The defense looked rough. And then you have the Cardinals, who I think have arguably the best quarterback in the division. I think they do have the best quarterback in the division. You know, Jimmy G, Geno, and Matt Stafford. I think Kyler's better than all three of those guys. So they have that advantage there, but they really don't measure up to the other teams in their division outside of that. Their offense is okay, but that defense just scares me. If they do somehow slip their way into the playoffs, which I would love because my Kyler narratives would go crazy, but if they do slip their way into the playoffs, it will A, not be because of their defense, and B, that defense will sell the crap out of them once they get there. So there's that. Eno Benjamin had a fantastic game. I like him a lot. 12 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown, and 4 catches for 21 yards. He was a monster. Just shows that James Conner isn't as good as you think he is, because Eno Benjamin is doing about the same thing he was before he got hurt. Moving on to the Browns and the Ravens. I picked the Ravens. I was right. Almost wasn't. This is a way closer game than I had anticipated. The Ravens just love blowing leads. They didn't blow this one fully, though. They just about did. There was a 61-yard field goal that could have tied the game, which, by the way, can we talk about that? Why are you attempting that with Cade York? I mean, come on. Their special team sucks as it is, and the kick ended up being tipped. Anyway, so whoops. But it's a rookie kicker, 61 yards to tie the game. Then you just give the ball back to Lamar. He goes down, drives the field. All they need to do is get to like the 45. Justin Tucker drills this record field goal and you go home depressed. I just don't get the methodology behind that. 4th and 5, gotta go for it. You get that, you run some clock, you either kick the field goal, send it right to overtime, or you score a touchdown with nothing left on the clock and the Ravens go home. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Brissett, mid 22 for 27, 258. No touchdowns to no picks. Nick Chubb doing his thing with 16 carries, 91 yards, and a tutty. Leading receiver was Amari Cooper with 3 catches, 74 yards. Should have had a touchdown, got robbed. That was not offensive pass interference. The Browns' defense was good. I mean, that's the first time anybody has said those words this season. The Browns' defense was good. They were good. It's just their offense sucks. Nick Chubb can't do it all himself. He can be the fantasy running back one. He can be the league's running back one. It's just not going to win you football games because they cannot pass the ball effectively. Okay, they had 3 receivers with 70-plus yards. That's good. One of them was a tight end, David Njoku, but three receivers was 71 yards. The next leading receiver after that was Nick Chubb with 16 yards on two catches. After that was Harrison Bryant with 15 yards on two catches. David Bell, 7 yards on one catch. Kareem Hunt, 4 yards on one catch. Offense just stinks. I mean, the Browns, it seems to be that their offense plays well, their defense sucks. Their defense plays well, the offense sucks. They cannot have both at the same time. Maybe they will when Watson comes back, even though Watson shouldn't be coming back. He should never be coming back. But I hate the Browns for what they did in the offseason, so I'm glad to see them getting their butts kicked. I'm very, very glad to see that. Talking about the Ravens, another lackluster game from them, really. I mean, you got to put teams away. They just, every single team has been able to play them close, and most of them, three of them have beaten them. The three actually good teams they've played have beaten them. The Giants, who are good, the Bills, can't remember who else beat them. Think they were good, though. So they're getting wins against the teams that they should get wins against. It ain't pretty, but they are. Lamar was okay. No touchdown passes, but he carried the ball for 10 carries and 59 yards. No tutties. Gus Edwards was pretty good. 2 touchdowns. Their run game's okay. Good to see him back after that ACL injury. The receivers didn't really do much. 2 receivers at 42 yards. Bateman and Duvernay. Those are the 2 guys you expect. But really just a lackluster kind of mid-game in general. Bucks-Panthers, my lock, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, let me down and lost to the rebuilding P.J. Walker-led head coachless Carolina Panthers. I have nothing to say about this game except Tom Brady, you are a bum. This dude does not care. He is so entitled. I mean, this dude goes to NYC last week, 2 days before the game, gets hammered, misses the flight, flies in by himself, and loses to Kenny Pickett. Yells at his offensive line. This week, he decides, I'm going to ramp it up a notch. And he goes into Carolina, a team that just traded away CMC, a team that just traded away their second wide receiver, a team that just fired its head coach, and doesn't score a touchdown. Gets beat by 18 points. Brady is a bum. Rodgers is a bum, too. I'll talk about him all day. Brady is a bum. This is ridiculous behavior from a guy who's supposed to be the seasoned veteran. He's whining on the sideline. He's breaking tablets. And on the field, he's awful. He cannot extend plays to save his life. I don't get it. Mike Evans had a huge drop, but game's 21-10 if he catches that pass. Whoop-dee-doo. You lose by 11 to a team. In your division, one of the most important wins you need is just getting wins against the bad teams in your division. And you can't even do that. You've lost to 2 of the bottom 5 teams, I should say, in the league in the past 2 weeks. You want to contend? No, thank you. Enough about the Bucks. Panthers, P.J. Walker should start, and he is. He was good. I mean, 16 for 22, 177, 2 touchdowns, no picks. There have been some P.J. Walker disaster classes in the past. Nobody's denying that. But what we've seen of Baker this year, what we know about Darnold, why not just give P.J. Walker the start? And even if he sucks, who cares? You're tanking. I mean, their run game was insane. Deontay Foreman, 15 carries, 118 yards. Chuba Hubbard, 9 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Receiving, DJ Moore had his best game of the year the second that CMC traded and everything. It is absolutely bonkers. Bonkers. I mean, I don't know what happened. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers. My lock went down. Bengals, Falcons, everybody and their mother picked the Bengals. Sort of locked them. I knew the Falcons were playing kind of close. Was not expecting an 18-point loss, I guess. But Joe Burrow, man. I'm a known kind of Burrow slanderer. I've been known to say some things about him that maybe not necessarily are false. But, you know, he played fantastic. I mean, Marcus Mariota had a decent game. 8 for 13, 124, a touchdown. They don't really throw the ball much because they don't trust Mariota, which, understandable, they won the ball a lot. Tyler Algier, 16 carries, 50 yards, averaging 3.1 with a touchdown. Mariota, 31 yards rushing. Caleb Holman, 22 yards rushing. Their rushing attack's still elite, but they've got to be able to throw the football in late game situations, and because they can't, because of the quarterback, they will not make any noise this year, although they all tied for first in their division, which is crazy to me. That's about all I had to say on the Falcons side of it. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, 34-42, 481, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, both 8 catches. Tyler Boyd with 155 yards and touchdown. Jamar Chase with 130 and 2 touchdowns. Just a phenomenal game. T. Higgins should have had a touchdown, too. He got stopped with 1. Phenomenal game from their receivers. Jamar Chase is still top 5. Tyler Boyd is a fantastic wide receiver 3. Best wide receiver 3 in football. It could be wide receiver 1 on the Packers, I guarantee you. Joe Mixon, average game. He hasn't been anything spectacular this year. He's averaging like 3 yards carry. Isn't great. For those of you who understand, that is not great at all. But they won the game. Bengals, I picked them for a reason. That this is a big bounce back game for them. And they really put up the bet against the Falcons. Proud of them. All right, moving on. Lions and Cowboys. Not much to say about this game other than the Cowboys' defense is just really, really good. Lions' offense is not as good as the points scored in the first few weeks might have told us that they were. I don't know. I'm trying to go less in depth so this episode doesn't run for like 4 hours. I think Dak, fantastic game back. I mean, this Lions defense is just sort of atrocious. They had a decent game. It wasn't like the worst thing in the world, but they got beat 24-6. Jared Goff isn't the guy. This isn't their year. Next year's their year, especially if they get a high draft pick, which is looking like they will. They're 1-5. I guess we'll see. I mean, I really don't have much to say about the Lions. They're just kind of the same old Lions. Despite what everybody said at the beginning of the year, including myself, they will always and forever just be the same old Lions. And I'm happy about that because it's 2 free wins for the Packers, or it should be at least. Giants, Jags. Listen, man. Oh, by the way, I picked the Cowboys. I picked right. Giants, Jags. I picked the Jaguars. Like, everybody picked the Jaguars. And the thing is, it was bound to happen. Like, the Giants every week, time and time again, have proven to us not to pick against them. But then the one week that everybody picks the Giants, they'll get blown out. It's how it's going to work. Like, this next week against the Seahawks, everybody will pick them, and then they'll get blown up by Geno Smith, right? I mean, that's just how it's going to work. The Giants just find a way to do it every single week. They find a way to survive, find a way to fight, and that's what I love about this team is they have a fighting spirit. They're not the most talented team on paper. Now, everybody knows that. But somehow, some way, they'll get it done. And that's why I think they'll make the playoffs. I mean, they're 6-1. They lose out. They're 6-11, right? So you just expect them to win 4 more games tops in the playoffs, probably. And in this NFC, 4 games pretty much locks on the playoff spot. They finish 10-7. Anything more than that, they're almost guaranteed a playoff spot, pretty much. All you got to do is win 4 to 5 more games in a stretch of the next, 10? They got to win just about half of their next games to make the playoffs, and I think it's probably going to happen. So, as far as Jaguars go, we jumped the gun too early on them. We've talked about this. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is still missing some things. I mean, his accuracy is still a little bit questionable. I talked about this at the top of the episode. We're talking about James Robinson. He had a very, 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 very much overthrown football. Could have been a touchdown pass to James Robinson, who was open. He missed 2 guys on the last drive of the game. Back-to-back throws just overthrew him in the end zone. That would have put them ahead by 1 point. The Giants, just they rely on Saquon. It works. Their defense has been good. Don't really want to talk about this one. Packers, Commanders. I picked the Packers because they should have beaten the Commanders. Packers only scored 14 offensive points. They had 21 in total. Only scored 14 because of a pick 6 from Devondre Campbell. This team came into a game in Washington against a 2-win Commander team that has been just pitiful with Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is hurt. It's Taylor Heineke. That should mean that the Packers win this game. But no. They'll find a way to lose it because they'll find a way to lose every single game they play this season because they are a bad football team. I'm sorry that I thought they were mid, but they might just straight up be bad. I mean, the NFC North only is 1 good team, if I'm being completely honest. The Bears looked good last night, but it's the Vikings, and that division is theirs this year because the Packers have absolutely no shot. This receiving core is the most frustrating thing I have ever seen on a Packers team. They are awful. Romeo Dubs, crucial drop on a 4th-and-1. He's a rookie. Maybe I'll allow that. Sammy Watkins decided to stop trying on a deep route. But if he had kept trying, he would have gotten the pass interference call. He didn't because it wasn't deemed catchable because he didn't actually go after it. Rodgers is frustrating me just a little bit because he doesn't seem like he cares. And it's kind of the same thing with Brady. They're both just these veterans who are like, you know what, screw it. It's over. We're done. You know, it doesn't seem like he has any connection with any of the receivers. Without Randall Cobb, he just doesn't want to throw to anybody. They didn't complete a pass to wide receiver until, like, the 4th quarter. You know, I mean, it sucks. Aaron Jones was huge in this game. He was fantastic. 2 touchdowns, both receiving. I mean, one of them was a fantastic catch. He had a good game on the ground. Aaron Jones was the only Packers player besides maybe Devondre Campbell that actually made me smile against the Commanders. Just awful. Commander side of it, Taylor Heinicke did not play well. He played awful. He made one good throw, and it was a good throw when Terry McLaurin beat Jaire Alexander on the touchdown. That one, I will admit, that was a great throw. Put it right where it needed to be. But this team only scored 14 offensive points as well. I mean, think about it. Really wasn't the best game. Heinicke sucked. I mean, he should have had like 5 turnovers. He just was chucking, throwing it with his eyes closed, throwing it with 3 Packers in his face, and somehow there's this dude standing there wide open. I mean, he did not make any like respectable throws except for the touchdown pass. He was awful. Commanders were awful. Commanders did not play a good game. Their defense, their secondary played well. I will say that. I don't want to like completely trash them. They just beat our team. Sorry, they just beat my team. They deserve some credit. But Taylor Heinicke was awful. Brian Robinson was good. McLaurin's him. Secondary was good. But the Packers defense really just disappointed me. They couldn't stop Taylor Heinicke. They could not get a stop on the run because they run defense no matter how good the defense is, no matter how talented it is. I've said this exact same statement 50 times this year. No matter how good their defense is or is supposed to be, they will never have a good run defense for some reason. It's always going to be worse in the league, and this is one of the worst run defenses I've seen in a very, very long time from the Packers. They just cannot stop the run whatsoever. Enough about my depression on Sunday. Let's talk about the Colts and the Titans, specifically the results of the Colts and the Titans game. First of all, I picked the Colts. Don't know why. I just figured that they wouldn't get swept, but they did. Matt Ryan got benched day after this game. He's dealing with an injury, but Frank Reich was literally like, hey, this isn't because of the injury, by the way. This is a permanent rest of the season thing. Sam Ellinger is our starting quarterback. I have a couple theories. First theory, Matt Ryan sucks. I don't get it. Why you trade for this dude who really has no future, has no upside. You know what he is. Carson Wentz has a higher ceiling than Matt Ryan does. Just a lot lower of a floor, I think. Maybe even not that at this point, because Ryan looked awful against the Titans. Bad against the Colts. Sorry, against the Broncos. I just don't understand how they could bench him. They traded for him, they're paying him money, so that's my first theory. He's awful. Second theory is, they need to figure out what's going on in the future at quarterback, because they will not be bad enough to have a high draft pick, and they will not be good enough with Sam Ellinger for him to be the starter. I almost guarantee it. But they have to try, right? You have to get Sam Ellinger in there. They drafted him last year to Texas. He had a good preseason this year. There is some upside. There is a ceiling that I don't think has been reached yet. I think if we see him in the regular season, I think if he plays well, they're just trying to figure out who's playing quarterback for them. And if Sam Ellinger is that guy, at least for like a bridge for a couple of years, because if he ends up sucking, guess what? You say, you suck for the rest of this year. We get like a mid first round pick. And then, because our roster's too talented to be bad. And then next year, we blow it up. We trade everybody before the season. And we tank. And we get a quarterback. I don't know how the class after this next one's quarterbacks are. But that's my only thought, is that they want to see if Sam Ellinger is going to be the guy. But benching a veteran who you traded for and you're paying a lot of money, not even halfway through the season, kind of a unserious move. Colts sucked in this game. Jonathan Taylor was okay, but Matt Ryan sucks. The receivers aren't great. And nothing else to say about that. The Titans were not great either. Tannehill sucks. Malik Willis fumbled the bag quite literally. I just mid-game, man, as with every game that both of these teams have played so far this year. Texans, Raiders, Josh Jacobs, him, my only takeaway. Who did I pick? Everybody expected them to win this game. I almost locked this one. I picked the Raiders. I almost locked this one. I mean, come on, dude. Really? I mean, the Texans suck. They are going to get the number one overall pick, I think. I think they're going to beat out the Panthers for that race. Texans are 1-4-1. Just awful. Yeah, I mean, the Raiders, Josh Jacobs is so good. Jets, Broncos, I picked the J-E-T-S, Jets, because they find a way to win. Similar to their New York counterparts, or should I say Jersey counterparts, the New York Jets find ways to win, and the Broncos are terrible. Broncos defense did its work. I mean, the Jets only scored 16 points, but their offense only scored 9 points. No touchdowns from the Broncos offense against the Jets defense that has been playing well, but it's the Jets. You gotta... Oh, it's frustrating for them, for sure. This has got to be a frustrating, embarrassing, infuriating loss if you were a Broncos fan. I know there's not many of them out there, but if you're still one of those remaining Broncos fans, there is hope. Not much, not much, but there is a little bit. They're tiny, so there's a sliver of hope for you there. I'm praying for you guys. But the Jets, I mean, they're 5-2. I mean, they're 5-2. The Giants are 6-1. I mean, they're keeping receipts and they're keeping a lot of them at this point because they're proving everybody wrong. I thought the Jets were going to be okay this year. A lot of people call me stupid for that, but I thought the Jets were going to be okay this year, so I'm taking a victory lap. Need to hydrate. Chiefs 49ers. Was expecting the Chiefs to win, not expecting them to win by 21 points. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes and he's going to do his thing. I mean, I don't know why anybody doubted the Chiefs coming into the year. I mean, there were people saying that the Chiefs were going to finish last in this division. That is stupid that you think a team with Andy Reid at the head coach and Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback is just going to not figure it out. Worst teams with a worst quarterback and a worst head coach have figured it out. And yet you think the Chiefs are just going to fall off a cliff? Think the Broncos are going to be ahead of them? Think the Raiders are going to be ahead of them? Think the Chargers are going to be ahead of them? They're going to win this division again. And everyone's going to sit there and just be stunned. But realize that you've watched the Chargers lose to the Jaguars. Almost lose to the Texans. Lose to the Seahawks. All teams that you in the beginning of the year were saying were going to be awful. And this team that you predicted to go 15-2 with the Chargers are not that great at a lot of things because their defense still kind of sucks and Justin Herbert hasn't been as good as you think he was. Although I love Justin Herbert. I don't want to slander him. But, I mean, the Niners, they'll figure it out. I mean, the usage with CMC is going to have to, you know, change. He's going to have to, they're going to have to figure out ways to use him in a way that's going to win them football games because they have to because they just traded for him and they traded a good amount for him and they're going to look really, really, really stupid. If they don't use him properly and he doesn't do well for them, it's going to be pretty embarrassing if you ask me. Anyway, Seahawks, Chargers, what is happening with the Seahawks? They are in first in the NFC West right now. They are in first place in the NFC West. Let me repeat that. The Seattle Seahawks, who traded away their Hall of Fame QB, had a quarterback controversy, competition, battle, whatever you want to call it, between Drew Lock and Geno Smith. Those two guys. Traded away Bobby Wagner, another Hall of Famer. And they are in first in a division with the reigning Super Bowl champs. The 49ers, who have a fantastic coach, fantastic defense, and the Kyler Murray-led Arizona Cardinals. Who could have seen it coming? Nobody, because I had them winning only 4 games this year, and they're already at that total. And they're playing the Giants next week. That's a winnable game. They could beat their total that I had them at just right away. Like, seriously. I think Geno is just better than people thought he was. People didn't really give him a chance. He's older, but that doesn't mean he's bad. He's been in the system for a while. He learned behind Russ. He was able to watch him play and watch how this offense runs. Their offense didn't really change much outside of Russ. It's still the same core. I mean, they have Noah Fant now, which is actually an upgrade from their tight end. Maybe from Gerald Everett, who was good last year. Still have DK, still have Tyler Lockett. I mean, they still have a great run game. Kenneth Walker is so him. He is fantastic. He is going to be the RB1 in Seattle for a long time. I love Rashad Penny. Prayers up for a speedy recovery, but he's not as good as Kenneth Walker. And even if he's better than Kenneth Walker right now, that will change very, very soon. The ceilings are a lot different there. Kenneth Walker is fantastic. As far as the Chargers go, I made a whole TikTok video about this. They're in trouble. Their offense doesn't look nearly as good as it should. Staley's offensive play calling is atrocious. I think that he is a coach that could be in the hot seat if they continue to underperform. They don't run any deep routes. They don't have anybody who's a legitimate, serious deep threat. Mike Williams can be that like four games a year. Keenan Allen's just kind of like a technical route runner who really won't go deep and really can't make those contested catches that you need them to. That Justin Herbert can throw. Their defense, J.C. Jackson's out for the year, and even so, he got benched against the Broncos, against that offense, which is never a good sign if you get benched against a bad offense. As a corner who got paid a lot of money for a lot of time, I don't get that signing. These Patriots defenders who are supposed to be elite don't tend to work out in other teams. It's just the way that Belichick runs his defenses makes them look really, really good. Khalil Mack's been okay, but nothing special. I mean, they're just kind of a stars and scrubs defense. I mean, there is nobody there besides Bosa, Mack, Derwin, and J.C. Jackson, who's, like I said, hurt. I think Bosa's hurt, too, actually. I mean, they just, I don't know. I think they're a tiny bit overrated. But, you know, Herbo, I still think he's a top 3 to 5 quarterback. I'm not going to solidly put him top 3 at the current moment just because of Allen and Mahomes and still Rodgers. But who knows, man. It's wild. Sunday night game, Steelers-Dolphins, another kind of mid-affair. The Dolphins, this is a victory on paper, but watching this football game, they had some serious struggles. Tua is not good. He's coming off of an injury. He hasn't played in a while. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he did play well in the first few weeks of the season. But I just don't think Tua is the guy. I don't think anybody thinks Tua is the guy. I don't think Dolphins fans were truly moved by like the 6-touchdown game against the Ravens. It was good performance, but you know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Wilde did a lot of the work. Trust me, they did a lot of the work. I don't think Tua's the guy. I think they really need to look into some quarterback options. I don't want to be a serious contender because even if Tua plays well enough in the regular season, when it comes to playoff time, he will choke and he will lose you games. It's as simple as that. The Steelers, Kenny Pickett. Don't jump the gun too early on him being bad, but he does have some rough qualities. He just tries to force things, and he's a nervous rookie. It's just how it's going to be. I think he has some potential. I think he's definitely their guy. Kenny Franchise, I think, is their guy. I think that Mitch is done for the year, and that Kenny's going to be the guy moving forward, even past this year. I do think this will be the first time in his career that Tomlin will have a losing record, though, although that stat is overrated. So many times he's gone 500. I don't think Tomlin needs to be in the hot seat. This isn't a coaching issue. This is a talent issue. But overall, mid-game, the Dolphins might not be proud of this win, but a win's a win. That's kind of the mindset that you have to go about as a Dolphins fan. You're getting wins. You're staying alive in the division race, kind of. But, you know, the Bills are the Bills. Bears-Patriots, couple big takeaways. The first one, Justin Fields, him? Absolutely, he was, at least last night, a phenomenal performance from him. I made a TikTok video about this. I can eat my words and admit when I'm wrong. I literally hated Justin Fields. I thought he was awful. And I make fun of him on Twitter all the time. But you cannot deny what he did. Even being one of his biggest haters on Twitter, I admitted that I was wrong and that he was very, very good last night. At least last night. Who knows if this will continue. Hopefully it does. But the dude just looks like he's figuring it out. He still has a little bit of that, I'm going to run around and hold the ball too long, get sacked quality, throw the ball away. But he's just so lethal on the ground. He picked up so many first downs just because he's able to keep the play alive and get run for the first down. And he didn't run the ball every time that he got flushed out of the pocket. He was able to actually like keep his eyes downfield and make a couple nice throws. He was hitting the open guys, and that's really stuff that he wasn't necessarily doing all the time before this game. So really just a solid performance from him. The running back duo is lethal. I mean, they have a great rushing attack. Their defense looked really good. Jaquan Brisker had a fantastic game. Kyler Gordon had a really good game. Had a nice PBU there. They're seriously in a position where if they get a decent draft pick and they draft right, they could probably be close to being a playoff team. If Justin Fields does his thing, which, again, not necessarily confirmed. Patriots side, Bill Belichick decided that he was going to have a little tryout for his quarterbacks. Neither of them moved me at all. Bailey Zappe came in, first drive, 4-for-4 on 4 easy throws. One of them he missed, but Jacoby Myers made a miraculous adjustment on the catch. Got into the end zone. That play was all Myers. That was a missed throw by Bailey Zappe. Everything that he does, the 75% completion percentage is so overblown because it's just play action, check down, play action, check down, play action. Some guys wide open over the middle. Some guys open in the flat. It just, he's not the next Brady. Bailey Zappe, he is accurate. He has some good accuracy stuff. And I'm not necessarily saying that there isn't a reason for him to be starting over Mac. I think that there's a chance that he could start over Mac. But I do not think the Patriots have their future franchise quarterback on their roster right now. I don't like Mac Jones. He was bad last night, made some bad reads, bad decisions. He can extend plays well, and he's able to get out of the pocket and move, and he can run. But, you know, Bailey Zappe, I just don't know what else to say. Bailey Zappe threw some bad picks. I don't know. Like I said, I don't think either of them are the guy for the Patriots, but, you know, it's tough. Going over who I picked, I picked the Chiefs, I picked the Chargers, I picked the Dolphins, I picked the Patriots, so I went 3-1 on those games, and I forgot to mention who I picked. This was a long episode, but honestly, I'm okay with it, so... yeah, that is going to be it for this episode. If you guys haven't already, be sure to rate us and review us on Spotify, do whatever you can on any platform to help this podcast grow. We will see you in episode 64.